How many of you have ever prayed for patience? Was your prayer answered? No. At least sometimes we feel that way. But what I find interesting is that as God's people, when we pray for patience, we have some expectation that God's going to help us with patience. Now, I think you probably have heard that. Be careful what you pray for, you know, that kind of thing. So when you pray for patience, God tests you all the more. But in today's lesson, as I shared with the kids, there's two groups. And to the one group, in a way, God doesn't talk to them. He doesn't answer them. He doesn't specifically address those bullet points in the message of the prophet Malachi about what God's going to do about that. Because sometimes, like, when we have run out of patience and we no longer believe, we attack the person that says, and I don't mean physically beat them up, but verbally, we become aggressive toward the person that has says, wait. You're in the doctor's office. You've been to the counter. Your appointment was for 9 a.m. It's now 10:30. And you've been to the counter, and they said, we will get to you. It's now 11 o'clock. And you go to the counter, and when they say, we will get to you, are you past believing? Well, the people in the first group, they are not believers. They look at God's agenda, God's action, and God's inaction. And they're using that as an excuse not to trust God. They're trying to find a way to justify their unbelief. So when God has said, and they knew that God had said, wait, they said, I'm having none of it. Now, how do we know this? Well, in the prophet, in this particular section, in verse 14, it says, it is vain to serve God. That's their complaint. Serving God doesn't get me anything. It doesn't serve a purpose. Especially when I compare to those who do serve God and those who don't serve God, and it seems like those who don't serve God are getting ahead. They've got more money, they've got more influence, they have a greater lifestyle. On the surface of it, it's not working for those who serve God. And so, excuse me. The prophet records, and Malachi means the messenger. The messenger records the attitude of the unbelievers. In this chapter, Malachi doesn't, on behalf of God, turn to this group and address all of their questions one by one. Instead, the messenger turns, as God instructs him, to address the believers. In a way, therefore, the message is for you. Now, you may have complaints about what God hasn't done that you wanted him to do, or you may have a complaint about how hard it is to wait for God's actions to take place. That is the fulfillment of his promises. But at the same time, by faith, we turn to God and we listen. And that's part of what the messenger tells us. God has heard. God listens to his people. And then the message is that God does have a plan. When you don't see a plan, it doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. It means he does have a plan. And it's spelled out for you as you look at Prophet Malachi. The Lord paid attention. the Lord heard them. And the Lord took actions by writing down the names in the book of remembrance. And the result of being in the in that book, we also call it the book of life, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And in that day, I will make up my treasured possession. I will take them up and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. God has a plan. He has told us to wait for the return of his son. His son has already come and gone. He's ascended into heaven. Now, Malachi is 400 years before Jesus is born. So Malachi is simply as a believer who's trusting in all the promises of the one to come. You and I are believers a little further in human timeline. We know that Christ has come, and yet we can voice the same objections. We can say, do the wicked look like they're getting away with it? Yeah. Do the wicked ever seem to change their ways? Not often. You know, do Christians suffer because they are Christian? And we see that. On this planet, there hasn't been a decade where Christians haven't suffered for the faith. It may not have taken place every decade in Tennessee, where Christians are dying because they are a believer in Christ. But on this planet, there hasn't been a decade without Christians dying for the sake of the faith. They refuse to recant. They refuse to return away from God. And just because they were Christians, many have died. It's not just way back when in the days of the Romans, and they had fun with the lions, as if it was a trained dog. Sick them, get them, you know, bite the Christian, you know. And they seem to revel, that is, enjoy the viciousness of that. But even within our own lifetime, Christians have been killed because they believe. Christians have been persecuted because they believe. Christians have been taken to court and sued because they believe. Because they do not follow the ways and the thinking and the wishes and the whims and the passions of this world. And in the midst of this historical reality, God says, wait. And the question the believers at time, we know Christ is coming. And the question is, wait for what? And we're like the kids in the car that are excited and then they're running out of patience. The waiting becomes agony. And through the prophet Malachi, we learn that the waiting is to stay in faith, is to remain empowered by faith, to trust God to keep his word. And it reminds us what we're waiting for. And you and I, we've read Revelation, and boy, is that fun, right? And Daniel and Ezekiel, and there's a part in Matthew that's just marvelous about what's going to happen when Christ comes. And we've read these parts. And in Thessalonians, it talks about the resurrection. These parts are marvelous. In Corinthians chapter 15, we feast on these because they are the message that helps us wait. And by the gift of faith, we listen. And by the gift of faith, we trust. And through that gift, we hold on to the word of God that we know Jesus is coming. And when he comes, we don't know all the detail. And sometimes that irks us, it bothers us. Especially if you're a detailed person. Some of you I know are exactly that way. It's okay, you know. But Christ says, I've got this. And he tells us he has this when he says, I will take up my treasured possession. That's you. It's all believers of all time. I will take them up and receive them to myself. It may seem like there's a lot of injustice. It may appear there's a lot of cruelty and that people are getting away with it. It may feel like you're suffering and you don't know the point of it. You wonder why. I don't have all the answers. I have one. By faith in Christ, keep waiting. Hold on to the hope that we have in Christ. Know that He has placed your name in the book of life. Hold on to the truth that, yeah, the wicked may seem to get away with it, but it's only for a little while. Because in the end, they get away with nothing. But don't gloat over that. Because you and I have our own kind of wickedness, our own disobedience, our own stubbornness. After all, we are Lutheran, right? We have our own thick skulls. And we're always not so confident. And yet, Christ has bore our sin and taken it on the cross so that this gift, this marvelous gift of being God's people is real. And the place that has been prepared for us is real. And when He comes to see Him as He is in the fullness of His glory, that too will be real. So it may be a word we hate when God says, wait. But it's also a word we love because it's God who says it, the God who keeps His promises, the Almighty God, rule over the earth and the heavens in life and death and everything in between and thereof. The God who says wait is the God who fulfills what He told you to wait for. It's pretty good, isn't it? In Malachi's day, it got really bad, even within the church. They stopped waiting. People stopped tithing. They brought offerings that was, the prophet tells us about unblemished lambs and blemished. And that is, you know, if you were to give a gift to God, you'd find the sickest, poorest looking creature. Oh, God can have that one. You know, like you're doing God a favor. The waiting became a rebellion. But then the messenger reminds us, for the people who believe, for the people who have hope, the waiting became a witness of faith itself, the power of God in the gift that He's given you. The waiting was an example of the power of God, not my power. I'm not good at waiting. But the power of God who said, wait, because I will do this. Jesus is coming. He will do this. Amen.